Welcome back to the Dissecting Musical Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Nick. It has been too long since I did an episode. A lot has been going on lately, and I haven't been really in a mood to create an episode. But we are back, we are here, and in today's episode, I am talking about one of my favorite shows on Netflix. It is a Netflix original, based off a show that was on, I do not know, 3-4 years ago, and it was on like in another country, I think, and it's by the wonderful, the honesty, the king of High School Musical movies, Kenny Ortega. It is called Julian and the Phantoms. So there are 9 episodes. And I'm talking about all of them, but not in this episode. In each episode, I'm doing an episode of the show. So I'm doing episode 1, titled Wake Up. So let's get into it. A synopsis: after a year of her mother's death, Julie plays an OCD and 3 ghosts suddenly appear, the guys from the 1990s band Sunset Curve. The show opens in Hollywood in 1995, and the band Sunset Curve is playing the song Now or Never, which is my favorite song of this episode, and it is the first song, but it just sets the tone for like the whole show. Take off, last stop, countdown to it. Top, face first, full charge, electric hammer to the heart. Clocks move forward, but we don't get older, no. Kept on climbing till our stars collided, and all the times we fell behind, just the keys to paradise. Kenny Ortega went into this show wanting this band and Julian Phantoms to go on tour, which we was robbed of that, and I don't know how to feel about that, honestly. Anyway, so after we meet the character Rose, and she tells the guys that they are the best band that she heard that day, and that they're going to make it big, and they give her a t-shirt and a Sunset Curve CD, and then they go get hot dogs from a sketchy old hot dog cart. It's not even a cart. The man who like makes the hot dogs make it on his engine grease, which is not the first time that they ever ate these hot dogs, and they never got sick or anything. But then that one day that they decided to eat it, they die because of the hot dogs, which is a funny way to die. Honestly, imagine dying off a hot dog, which, and it's not just a hot dog, it's a sketchy hot dog, which they knew it was sketchy, because it's off a engine grease, in the middle of nowhere. I forgot to tell the names of the guys, so Alex, Luke, and Reggie, and there's one other guy, I can't think of his name because I did not write it down, because in a later episode, he steals all like Sunset Curve songs, especially the songs that Luke wrote and put them as his own. So I forgot his name. It's gonna come up in a later episode, because I'm gonna go back and watch all the episodes again. I can't think of his name, but it's Luke, Reggie, and Alex are the main 3 ghosts, or the main 3 guys that's gonna be in this whole series. Transition to 2020, and we meet Julie and her best friend Flynn, and she tells Julie that today is her last chance to audition for the music program. Then we transition to the music room, and Julie is scared to play the piano. And when she gets home, her dad is already saying the house, and he asks her to go to her mom's old studio and to clean out her old stuff. And we learn that her mom used to make music, and she was in the band. and she found a Sunset Curve CD, and when she plays it, three dead guys drop from the sky, and she screams. Which, the scream was unnecessary, but then also it was necessary. If I played a CD, and all of a sudden, three ghosts just drop from the sky, I would scream, but then yet I would pass out. Because I think fainting is the thing that a person would do. But then also, screaming is okay too. But what's funny about this is that I saw it like in a behind the scene, like on a TikTok, that Kenny Ortega had to teach her how to scream. Like, had to teach her how to do that scream, which is iconic in itself, honestly. Kenny Ortega just teaching you how to scream, that's a dream of mine, honestly. So she grabs across from her mom, from her room, and I don't know why this whole scene is funny, but it is, and like for no reason. So she tries to touch him with the cross, but it just passed right through him. Then Luke says that why is she in her old studio, and she said that it used to be her mom's, and he's like, no, this is our old studio. What? So you can't tell me that they're not connected. And Luke says that they're not connected, but they're connected. Because, and I'll tell you why. So, at the beginning, we meet Rose, who is her mother, but it's never canon. But it makes sense to be her mother. Because if you put a picture of Rose and of Julie, they look too much alike. And the way they're connected is the guys gave Rose a t-shirt and a CD. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, they might give everybody a t-shirt and a CD. And you're right. But Rose is the only character that we meet in the beginning who is important but not important. Because why would we meet a person that the guys meet and who was like an important character, and we never see her again until Julie finds a CD and a shirt, and she plays the CD, and it so happens that the three guys that her mom knew just happily appeared out of the sky? No, you can't tell me that this is, oh, it's just a coincidence. That is no coincidence. No, it's not. Like, if you tell me that, then you're lying. Then you need to go to the doctor because you have problems in the head. The guys think that they died the night before, but Julie makes them aware that they died 25 years ago. And Carlos, her younger brother, comes in, but he can't see them. And Alex King, love him, says that he's been crying for 25 years. Like, he goes on a rant saying that he'd been crying for 25 years in a dark room of nothingness. Julie goes inside for dinner with her brother and her dad, and they set out a place for her mom. But they quickly have to move it because their tia comes over and she wants them to move on. But their mom just passed away like a year ago. Let them set a plate. And if they want to keep grieving, they can keep grieving. Like, you cannot, you know, watch somebody die and, oh, I stopped grieving after a year and she just died a year ago. I wish it were like that, but it don't. Unless you want to stop grieving, then that's your choice. Tia tells Ray that Julie isn't in the program anymore, which was a mistake because she thought that he already knew. Then the guys started playing music in the garage and everyone else can hear them. Julie and Ray go to the studio and the music stops. And Ray makes the comment that he likes the music, and Luke is so happy. And Alex says that he doesn't count because he's a dad. But of course he'll like it, because if they were still alive, Ray and the guys will be the same age. What age is that? I do not know, because math. Yep, that's the reason, because of math. And also, I don't want to think about it, because when they're in 1995, that would have been my age. So they'll be older if they're alive today. And I don't want to think about them being older because I like them the way they are now because they're hot. Luke tells Julie that the one thing they can do, they can still do it and people can hear them. And that's really important to them. Julie asked him if they have seen her mother, when unfortunately they have not. But he says that her mom was an amazing songwriter because she found a song that she wrote on top of an old piano. And she says that they can... Julie goes to her room to text Flynn about the ghost, and the ghost pop outside of the Orpheum, which was the place that they were supposed to play before they died. And Alex bumped into another ghost, which makes him confused because he thought that they were the only ghost that, you know, was half alive, if that makes sense. Julie finds out that the song her mom made was a song that was made for her. It's called Wake Up, which is the most beautiful title for like the most a wonderful song ever. And the girl who plays Julie, Madison Rise, where her, I can't say her last name, it's either Rise or Rise. She is 15 and she has so much talent. You know, a talent that I wish I had. Like, she's 15 and she can sing and she can play the piano. And when she sings, there's like so much emotion that comes out her mouth. Like when you listen to that song, and like, you know, like the story behind of why she didn't want to like play music anymore, it makes you feel like a way that you never thought that you'll ever feel. I can't explain it, but it makes you sad, but it then makes you happy. I'm going to play you half of this song because it is the best song in this episode. Now, I said that the other one was the best song, but this one is the best song. But then after you listen like to this part, I want you to go listen like to the whole song after this episode, because it's the most beautiful song that you could ever listen to ever. And I love it. That's the end of the episode. When I tell you that this show just gave me life, it gave me life. And I watched it. I started watching it after the release. I think it was a year after release. And I just binge watched all 9 episodes. And I'm still mad that they couldn't give us 10. But it's fine. But the greatest thing is that this was directed by Kenny Ortega, who gave us this show and who gave us High School Musical, which of course, because it's giving High School Musical, well, I will see you next episode when I discuss episode 2 titled Bright.